It is what it is, and I just found out yesterday just how quick, you know, other people are going through this because, you know, I'm talking to other ministers. They've been calling me, and I'm talking to some who's been in the ministry for 12 years or longer. Bam, they had to resign. You know, like, wow, you know. So one from Michigan up there, somewhere I think near you, Lisa, called me, and he talked to me, and we had a good long conversation. And I don't know if he was kidding with me or not, but he's talking about, you know, Jim, we're probably going to have to get you to come up here and preach. Now, I told Sherry last night, so I hope he wasn't really serious because, you know, I don't know who's going to pay for all that airfare and everything else for me to fly up there, stay in a motel and preach. I think he was just kind of saying that, but I'd be surprised if he shows me something and sends me an invite. I'm like, I ain't going to be able to afford that unless they pay for it, you know, but Sherry says, well, you'd be flying up there by yourself because I wouldn't be able to go. So, I don't know. But anyway, this was a message I wrote many, many weeks back. And some of y'all, you know, were getting messages after I preached it in church. Now I'm back to the online ministry till I get back to another church. So, again, I still got a bunch of them that's already pre-written, you know, that y'all going to hear. And then I got to start working on some new ones. So, hopefully in all this, I come up with some more new ones too. But listen to this. Whenever you hear the word looking, you know, I think we all heard that word looking. You know, me, when I go in the hardware store, I like to look at twos. My wife, when she goes to Walmart, she likes to look at shoes. You know, so we all got something we love to look at, right? But if you ever think about it, what is the meaning of the word looking? Have you really, really given it some thought? Like, what is the meaning of looking? Now, I know I'm looking at the wall. I'm looking at pictures. I'm looking at the screen online, you know. So, I mean, but when I started thinking about that word, and I had to look up and see what it meant. And according to Webster's Revised Unabridged Dictionary, it means this: to direct the eyes for the purpose of seeing something. To direct the eyes towards an object. To observe with the eyes, keeping them directed. Now, when you think about this word looking, again, what comes to your mind whenever you are thinking about it? I think none of us really gives it any thought, you know, about the word looking. I think we really don't give no thoughts about whenever we hear it, you know, when the word is said, looking. I'm sure now, one time or another, though, some of us, or many of us, has heard the word looking used in this manner one time or another. Here's an example. If someone is looking at someone, or someone's looking at you, that person would generally say, why are you looking at me? You probably said that. You know, if you've been somewhere and you see somebody just kind of like, you know, just, you know, most times when I see somebody doing that, I usually go up and ask them, hey, why are you looking at me? You know, something I did, you know, look funny to you or something or whatever, you know. But generally, we would say that. You know, we would tell that person, well, why are you looking at me? Yep, that too. Well, what about the word looking used this way? Hey, good looking. I'm sure us men and ladies, or ladies and men, has heard that been used before. Or how about this one? I am looking for a car. Or, I've done it many times, I am looking for my house keys. I can't find them. I'm looking for twos. I'm looking for a place to live. I'm looking for a place to go. After all this is going to be over with, I'm going to be going looking for a place to eat tonight. Right? See, we all heard that word looking used in many, forms and fashions like this. I'm sure we all can relate to this. Or better yet, you know, sometimes we say, I'll look around for it later. Well, here's a good one. And gentlemen, if you're listening to this, I think you can relate to this. But maybe ladies can too. But, you know, right now, I'm just going to use it as the lady side of it. Bro, she's throwing you a mean look that way, dude. Uh-oh, I must have done something wrong. Or, ladies, your husband sometimes might be throwing a mean look your way. Like, you'd be like, well, what did I do to get him so upset? I think you get the general idea of what looking is. So with that, let's go to our reading scriptures for tonight. We are going to be in Mark chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And Lisa, she will post it for you. I am reading out a New King James Version. Unfortunately, the Bible bot does not do New King James Version. And the guy that developed the bot, he's not going to spend money to fix it. But anyway, Mark chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And start with verse 5. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you today. Thank you for allowing us to gather together. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to present the gospel. Father, I sure appreciate it. Thank you for all that you have done for us in the past. Thank you for fixing all these internet issues. Thank you for everything that you have bestowed upon us and the gifts and the support, the strength, the courage, the wisdom. You know, I mean, we all go through different things, but, you know, we don't thank you enough as we should, but I just want to let you know I appreciate it. Thank you again for allowing me to go in this direction, and thank you for this message. Again, you know, it's something that I think we need to reflect on because, again, you know, when we think about such things, we never really go in-depth of what we're thinking about. So thank you for loving us, supporting us, those who couldn't be here tonight, whatever reason. I don't know why they don't have the desire to be here. And, again, you know, we can't force them to come. That's up to them. They got to make the decision. But speak to them and talk to them and let them know that you love them. Again, bless those who are here. They took time to come here. They could have been done their own little thing, but they're here. Bless them, support them, love them, and show them all things will work out okay. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I titled this message, of course, y'all seen the bot. You know, it flashes this every 2 hours. I was doing it every hour. You know, kind of spamming the chat room, you know, so, but maybe I'll go back to an hour and just spam the chat room, make it look like he's got a bunch of activity going on. Who knows, you know, but anyway, I titled this message where I wrote it, Jesus is looking. That's right, friends. Jesus is looking. Now, my dear friends, did you know that looking with desire at the wrong things can distract us and keep us from doing God's will? I think maybe many of us does notice. If we're looking at the wrong things, they at times can basically distract us and keep us from doing God's will. Y'all agree with that? But I know for a fact because I've done it, been there. But did you know that the Apostle John, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, classifies the desires of the eyes as worldly and assured us that the world is passing away? Well, listen to what he says right there in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 through 17. I think I'm going to have it all wrong. Okay, I missed the one. All right, my boo-boo. But it's still the right one. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. Verse 17 says, and the world is passing away, the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Don't y'all love that? Those of us who does the will of God abides forever. Wow. But now, did you know that our God is also looking? You know, I think there's a little a kid song, be careful little ears what you hear, be careful little eyes what you see. Because, you know, I don't know the rest of it, but I think there really is a song. But did you know that our God is looking? He's watching us all the time, and nothing is hidden. Nothing. Many people think they can get away with their sin, you know, being a Christian. You know, no one saw it. But well, yeah, hold on a minute. One person did. He's constantly watching us. And we know this from his word because, again, we see it in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, which says right there, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and good. Nothing is overlooked or nothing is hidden from him. Woo! Nothing is hidden from God, my friends. Nothing. So in knowing all this, we also know, and if you look at scriptures carefully, that's what we're going to get into tonight, that when Jesus himself was here on this earth, he also looked at everything and saw all, and even himself threw some looks at people that he encountered. That's right. He threw some looks at some folks that he encountered. So in our message this evening, we're going to make some notes of some of the looks of Jesus. And that's right, my friends. Jesus is looking this way. And here are some of the looks that he did according to God's words. The first look that he did, the look of displeasure. That's the first look he did. The first look, the look of displeasure. Again, let's go back to Mark chapter 3, verse 5. Look what it says. And he looked around them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their heart, and he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and the hand was restored. Now, what we see here at this particular point when it says that he looked around them with anger, what we see, Jesus himself, he was demonstrating righteous anger, not angry feeling anger. You know, we know anger, I mean anger, hostility anger. He was demonstrating what we call righteous anger. He was grieved with anger, but did not sin by lashing out in anger or losing control of his emotions. Folks, he didn't do that. Sometimes whenever we look at something, we get angry, we lose control, and we lose control of our emotions, and we lash out. But that's not what Jesus did when he looked at them with anger. Instead, what he did, he gave them a look of displeasure. He was displeased with their reactions because here was a guy with a wilted hand on the Sabbath, and yet he tells the man, stretch out your hand, performs a miracle, and his hand is restored. And yet those dudes' hearts were so angry and hardened, they were upset because he did something on the Sabbath. But yet they just witnessed the miracle, the man's hand being restored. Wow. That's why he was displeased with them. Because in all honesty, they should have been glad that the man's hand was healed when they saw that miracle. But what did they do? They were plotting to destroy him rather than rejoice, rather than glorifying God. Hallelujah, that man has been healed. No, they plotted to kill him. And that's why he looked at them with displeasure. Wow. Another look Jesus did, or another look that he has, was the look of pleasure. That's right. Jesus had a look of pleasure. Again, let's go to Mark chapter 5, verse 32 through 34. And here we see it right there. Mark chapter 5, 32 to 34. And it says, "And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear, trembling, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease.'" Now here we note at this particular instance right here, Jesus was well pleased because of this woman's faith in him made the difference, for it was correctly placed in him. Why? Why was he pleased of that woman's faith? Because her faith was correctly put in him. Very simple. She knew, and we should also, my friends, she knew, and we should also know that our faith in God, and that God will do what he says he will do. Y'all heard me quote this passage a lot because, again, I have faith in God that God is going to do what he says he's going to do according to his words. Because, and again, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that's one of my favorite passages. I use that all the time because, again, what that passage tells me, because it says it right there. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of all things, or as one translation says, the convictions of things not seen. And what that tells me right there, my friends, that everything that God says he's going to say in that word, in his holy words, he will do. And yet I may not see it. You know, some people wants the evidence. Some people wants to touch it. You know, some people just got to see some sort of a sign. Well, sorry, folks. God doesn't operate like that. We strictly walk by faith in him. But here we go a little further in this chapter, same chapter, chapter 11, verse 6. And look what it says right there. And this is why I love this passage also. It says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him." Woo! What? Whoa! So you mean to tell me, Jim, if I don't have faith in God, I'm not pleasing him? That's correct. That's what that passage is saying. Woo! Man! I will read the rest of it. Because, again, that's exactly what this passage tells. If you don't have faith in God that God's going to do what he says he's going to do, you're not pleasing him. We all fall short of that category a lot, don't we? I know I do. But look at the rest of it. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. That's some heavy-duty stuff right there, my friends. So see, faith itself proves to us that what is unseen is real. My faith in Jesus Christ, my faith in God, my faith in the Holy Spirit, the faith in his holy words, to me, I cannot see it. I see some things in my life, and we can all agree we do. But all things in God, we don't see at all, but our faith tells us it's real. It's real. And faith proves to us that what is unseen is real, and when we place our faith in him alone, of what he did for us at the cross, Folks, it pleases him. It pleases him. It really does. Here we go to the third look of Jesus is. I love this one. The third look of Jesus. The look of prayer. Really, Jim? That's right, my friends. The look of prayer. Notice what Mark chapter 6, verse 41 says. And this is another wonderful passage. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. You see, folks, Jesus knew. Listen to this carefully. Jesus knew with confidence that the prayer that he prayed will be answered. Or, in fact, would be answered. He prayed and he knew that prayer was going to be answered. And we, as his followers, we should have the same look when we pray. We, you and I, should have the same look when we pray to God, knowing that prayer is going to be answered. But our problem is, half the time, we put a timetable on it, or we set conditions to it, or sometimes it's me, give it to me right now. It don't work that way. Sorry, Charlie. But God will answer the prayer in his way, not ours. Knowing this, just how Jesus prayed, when we pray, we should know that God will answer the prayers we send with confidence. Because Jesus was confident that the Father was going to answer those prayers, we should be the same. But you know, sometimes when we pray, we act like little worrywarts.
I don't know if it's going to happen. I need it now. Oh,
man. It ain't going to come true. Oh, I doubt it's going to happen. Whoa, see, you already doubt it. So if you're doubting, then why ask the prayer? You understand what I'm saying? We pray with confidence. We pray to the Father, and the prayer is going to be answered. And we trust in him. And unfortunately, I do see some people, when they pray a prayer, it does not get answered like they want, and they get upset with God. Well, see, God already knew in advance that you was going to be upset by the way he was going to answer the prayer. Folks, however the prayer turns out to be, good or bad, we should not become upset. We should just pray with confidence every time. Here, Lord, here's my prayer. And expect an answer. In reality, if you really look into the Word of God, if you really study it further, and you dig deeper, you will see many looks of prayers and the power in them. Because there's power in prayers, folks. There really is. I have witnessed it. I have seen it. I know it. Jesus prayed many prayers, and there was power in those prayers. Pray and believe. But don't set conditions on those prayers. You pray in faith. You pray to God. You have that look. You know, I got that look of conscience. Father, I don't understand this, but I will pray. And leave it in your hands. So basically, my friends, in closing, I'll leave y'all with this. What am I trying to say in this message? I mean, I just kind of touched based on 3 of his looks. Well, if you want to know what I'm trying to say in this message, if we, you and I, show the world who is looking at us and the actions that we demonstrate as we follow Jesus, believe it or not, the world's watching us. Believers and non-believers. They are watching us. They're watching you. They're watching to see if you are claiming to be what you say that you are. They're watching your actions. They're watching how you're going to react in certain situations. They're watching to see if you really mean what you claim to be. So, folks, we should show the world who is looking at us by our actions that we demonstrate as we follow Jesus. If we do exactly what we are called to do and do it the godly way, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but if we do it exactly the godly way, believe it or not, to someone who does not know the Lord, it may be just the thing they need to see in order for them to change and come to Jesus. That's why we got different looks about us. We must look like Jesus. Because if we don't look like Jesus, then how are we going to demonstrate to Jesus to the lost and dying world? Because I have heard many people say, if that's how those Christians act, thanks, but no thanks. I don't want it. And that's what me and my wife was talking about the other day. We really live a hard life, a sacrificial life. We really do. And we got to learn what it means to die to oneself. We got to learn what it means to be a living sacrifice. We got to learn what it means to put other people above us. Jesus demonstrated that by his looks. And we should be doing exactly the same. Because people tend to judge the character and the worth of others by looking just at outward appearances. No one hardly ever looks at the inward. They're always looking at what they see on the outside. So if I'm a pastor, and all of a sudden I'm getting angry and mad and upset, spouting off words, acting like a kid, beating you up, you think that's going to make a good impression on them by my looks, the way I'm acting, doing? Some of them will probably be like, whoa, he's a preacher? Whoa, he's a follower of Jesus Christ? He don't look like it. Not by what he's doing right now. See where I'm going with this? We are, in fact, let me get it. We are, in fact, my friends, are under a magnifying glass. The world is on this side and they're looking in. They're watching us. They're seeing if we're going to do what we claim to do. And if we're not looking like Jesus, we're sending a bad message to the lost and dying world. Because they are looking at our outward appearances. You see, because if a person is tall, good looking, well built, and tastefully dressed, then he or she possibly possesses physical qualities that humans generally admire and respect. So if we are being looked at by people, and if we are showing Christ-like love to others, true love, not fake love, what I call humbled love, humility, and we demonstrate that to people, then we possess qualities that the lost probably generally will admire. I used to know that person, but look how they are now. They changed. Something changed about that person. Maybe, just maybe, I need to ask, what happened? And yes, my friends, appearances can be deceiving. We got to be careful with that. And people out there in the world, they got their guard up a little bit. So, you know, yeah, you got to be a little bit careful with that. But see, the outward appearances at times really does not reveal what people are really like. It does not. I can look like a pastor, preach like a pastor, dress up like a pastor, give a good message like a pastor. But just because I show those outward abilities may not really mean that I am a true pastor. Or let's just put the shoe on the opposite foot. If you claim to be a Christian, act like a Christian, pretend to show people that you are a Christian, just by your outward looks, body language, your speech, whatever, does not necessarily mean you are a Christian. Outward appearances can be deceiving. And physical looks doesn't show us a person's value or character or integrity or faithfulness to God. It does not even do that. Outward qualities, my friends, are by definition superficial. We can look like a duck, we can walk like a duck, we can quack like a duck, but then we truly might not be a duck. Now, on the other hand, moral and spiritual considerations are far more important to God. I like that, putting on costume. That's right. You see, moral and spiritual considerations are far more important to God. See, God has the unique ability to see inside the person's heart. God knows our true character. He knows who you are. We spoke about that last night in our Bible studies. He knew us before the foundations were formed in this world. Because what God is looking at, God is not looking at outward appearances, my friends. That's not what he's looking at. He's looking at the heart. He's looking at your heart. And when you look at the wording, and I love this how it's put, when you look at the wording heart in scriptures, is a person's inner moral and spiritual life. Why I say this? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 clearly explains that. Look what it says. Everything we do flows from our hearts. Listen to the words, my friends. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. That is the best explanation of what a person's heart is. Keep your heart with all diligence, because from out of it springs the issues of life. You see, folks, the reason why I'm saying this right now, your heart is the exact core, the inner essence of who we truly are. Luke chapter 4, verse 45 says this, and that's another good explanation of our hearts. Look what it says. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Wow. That's dead on, isn't it? You can't get no better description than that. None no better. That's the heart. That's the look we should be showing. See, folks, Jesus has many other looks. And the people saw it in him. They did. They saw the looks that he had. And because of the looks of who he was, you know what, my friends, when I wrote this, I said to myself, you and I should be demonstrating the same looks for the lost world to see. And if we're not demonstrating those looks for the world to see, we got some issues. We got some problems. People don't like to hear this kind of message whenever you start saying things like that. Oh, well, Joe, I'm all right. I'm pretty good. Yeah, I don't do no bad. I don't do no harm or whatever. Well, I'm telling you, my friend, if you're talking like that, but yet you are scheming in your heart, or you are gossiping, or you are spreading lies, or you're doing this, or you're doing that, but yet you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ on Sunday morning, then again, my friends, you are not demonstrating the proper look of Christ. You're demonstrating something else. We should be demonstrating the looks of Jesus for the lost world to see. And in fact, the ultimate goal of every Christian is to look more like Jesus every day. We are a work under construction. My goal is to look like my Lord each and every day. Do I succeed a lot? No, but I'm consistently working on it and improving. And you should be doing the same thing. And while we follow him, this is what we should be doing. We should constantly be asking questions of ourselves. We should be asking ourselves this question basically every day. I do. This is what we should be saying to ourselves. Is what we are saying or doing filled with a whole lot of love? Is it filled with a whole lot of joy? Is it filled with a whole lot of peace? Is it filled with a whole lot of patience? Is it filled with a whole lot of kindness? Is it filled with a whole lot of gentleness? Is it? That's some hardcore questions to be asking of ourselves. Bottom line, my friends, if we are not doing those things, then it's probably not of the Holy Scripture, or the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry. If we're not demonstrating any of these things I just said, then it's not of the Holy Spirit. Because if we are truly Spirit-led, we would be demonstrating these looks for the world to see. You see, my friends, Scripture tells us plainly, when the Holy Spirit has control of our lives, I ain't talking about us having control, we must relinquish that control to him. So when you decide to purposely put in your heart that, you know what, I am going to relinquish all of this control over to him, he will show us these things in increasing measures. They will increase. Trust me, they will. I know it. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives, he begins to help us look more like Jesus. And when we begin to look like Jesus, we act like Jesus, and we become imitators of Jesus, and the world will see our actions and see the real looks of Jesus, of who he really was. My wife said that last night. She said, you know, we got to work on it and do better. We must be imitators of Jesus Christ, nothing else. Nothing else. We can't say, well, I want a little bit of Jesus, but I still want a little bit of this. That can't be. All is all, and that's it. We must imitate Jesus in every waking moment of our lives while we are here on this planet. Why? You see, my friends, the reason why, when we get to heaven, we ain't going to have no reason to be imitating Jesus, because we're going to be glorified. We're going to get that glorified body. But we need to be imitators of Jesus now for others to see when they are looking at us. So that way, that light in us can shine over their darkness and possibly draw them to God. Because of that look, because that look of Jesus Christ, it can transform the lives that we encounter, because when we have that look, when we have that look of Jesus and the love of Jesus, that shows the real power of who Jesus was and who Jesus is. You understand this? Listeners, I hope you understand this. Because when we show the true look of Jesus, then it will be evident for all to see. Amen. Let's pray.